Namaskar. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the lotus flower, its significance, meaning, imagery, how it relates with our spiritual science, all these aspects. Because the lotus flower holds great import and is an important element within our yoga practice. You may have seen, if you visited maybe a lotus flower garden or one of the tropical countries, you may have seen how the lotus flower, it's rooted in the mud beneath one pool of water, maybe a pond, often a muddy pond. And that flower grows up in that very difficult, dirty environment all the way through that dirty water. And then it expresses itself on the water's surface. It blooms, it blossoms, it flowers right on the surface of the water. And what a beautiful flower it is. And it has one special sheen or coating or oil on its petals such that it doesn't allow any of the dirty water droplets to stain the flower. The flower remains perfectly clean, pure, and blemishless. And any dirty water that gets splashed onto it just rolls off it. It just rolls right down into the pond. That's why in Sanskrit, the lotus flower is known as Pankaj. Pank means mud, and ja means to take birth. That flower which takes birth in the muddy water. Another word for the lotus flower in Sanskrit is Neeraj. Nir means water, and ja means janam, to take birth in the water. And then, of course, there's our lotus posture, Padmasan. Padma also means lotus, as does Kamala. And in fact, there's probably 15 or 20 words in Sanskrit that refer to the lotus flower, because that significance is so meaningful and has great import in our yoga practice. How? Well, just as that lotus flower takes birth in that very dirty, seemingly undesirable environment, it still makes a picture-perfect, pure flower on the water surface. Likewise, we as human beings live in a very busy world. We have so many duties, responsibilities, so many activities and plannings and programs. It's so busy, and they call it the mundane world, and not because it's boring, but because it's related with the five physical factors, with the physical expression. Yet even though we're so involved in all those activities of worldly motion, our minds should remain pure, should remain clear, clean, blemishless. And that's the ideal of following the lotus in our life, in Sanskrit, in yoga. And that is the ideal of the lotus. That despite our hands and feet are so involved in worldly duties, our minds have a slight sense of detachment, a sense of witnessship, or a sense of tranquility that is not affected by all the comings and goings. That's why yogis do not outrightly get angry or become taken in by too much sorrow. No doubt we have our emotions, but the mind still maintains a certain integrity, a certain calmness and tranquility. And that is that's the significance and imagery of that lotus flower, that we should live in this busy world, yet keep a nice, cool, calm, tranquil mind. There's also a spiritual significance or spiritual scientific aspect of the lotus flower, and that also we're going to investigate. As you have probably heard, the energy system known in the energy system that is depicted in yoga is through chakra points. And there are seven chakra points in the human body, the lowest one being the Muladhara chakra, that's at the base of the spine. And then as you go up from there, there are five more chakra points along the spine. Then there's a sixth chakra right inside the center of the head. That's known as the Ajnan chakra. That's located at the pituitary gland. Then, if you were to take your five fingers from the Trikuti point, from the midpoint in between the eyebrows, and just kind of place those five fingers on top of one another, such the palms are going up across the forehead and then circling around the top of the head. If you go just down from that point where that last finger touches the very crown of the head, inside there is the pineal gland, and that's the location of the seventh chakra, or the Sahasrara chakra. So why are we talking about chakras? Well, the crown chakra, the Sahasrara chakra, is also known as the thousand-petaled lotus chakra. And the question is, why is it referred to as that point? We have 50 propensities of mind. In this 21st century, in this modern society, the human mind has got 50 propensities, so say the yogis. Those propensities are vrittis in Sanskrit. It means mental inclinations: anger, fear, jealousy, love, compassion, forgiveness, all different types of propensities that we have. And those propensities are related with different chakra points. Yet the crown chakra controls all of those. It has 50 propensities in it. And when that chakra is controlled, then all those 50 propensities are in control there, are being set. Now, those 50 propensities can be expressed in 10 different directions: up, down, north, south, east, west, northeast, southeast, northwest, southwest. So we've got 50 tendencies of mind, 50 propensities, and then we have 10 directions. They can be expressed in any of those directions. That makes 500. And then in the realm of yoga, we don't think of things just happening externally. We also think of things happening internally. A thought is a veritable action. If we become angry but don't express that anger, still internally we feel the reaction of that. So those 50 propensities and those 10 directions can be expressed internally and externally. So then you have 50 by 10 by 2, and that makes 1,000 propensities of mind. And those are all controlled at that very crown chakra point. And that's why the Sahasrara chakra is known as the thousand-petaled lotus chakra, the controlling point of human mind, of human existence, of human cognition. So that's a little bit about the imagery of the lotus, what its significance is, as well as the spiritual science behind the thousand-petaled lotus. And we should follow that ideal of the lotus as best we can, that even though we live in this very, very busy, ultra-modern society where life moves at very fast speed, we should do our best to keep the mind calm, cool, collected, and maintain our mental integrity and tranquility each and every waking and sleeping moment. Namaskar. This has been presented by Renaissance Yoga, www.renyoga.com.